Okay. Listen. This rabbi and priest walk into a bar, okay? And they sit down. This is going to love this. They sit down at the bar, and the bartender comes over and looks at the rabbi and says, Rabbi, what do you have? And the rabbi says, I'll have a whiskey straight up. And the priest looks at the rabbi and says, a whiskey straight up? I didn't know you were Jewish. I didn't know you were Jewish. He says it right to his face. I didn't know you were Jewish. I have no idea you were a rabbi. No. I didn't know you were Jewish. I had no idea you were Jewish. I had no idea. I know. Isn't that funny? I didn't have an idea. I had no idea, in other words. No idea. The priest says this. The priest says this. To the rhino. He says it to the rabbi. He says it to the rabbi of all people.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I had no idea you were around.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? How are you doing, man? How are you doing? Yesterday, the stock market, went downstairs. way downstairs. The Dow Jones, I don't know Dow Jones personally, I know his wife, Mira Jones, she's a wonderful woman, we used to date in high school, you know what I mean? Anyway, apparently the Dow took a plunge, 1,100 points plus in the red, went down, minus, down, bottom. People are panicking, calling their investors and their financial advisors. What do I do? I'm losing money like crazy. Well, you're not. It was the largest point drop by the Dow in its history. However, percentage-wise, is about 4.3% drop, which is not significant. So that's not really that big a deal, although it sure seems like it if you really look at it on paper. What the Dow was doing was making a correction. That's what we do when we correct things. We take your money away. It was simply a correction. Oh, well, it's just a correction. It's no big deal. How much money did I lose? You didn't lose anything unless you cash it in, Ron. See, that's the bottom line. You didn't lose a cent if you just leave it alone. All this did was bring us back to the levels of the Dow at Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Thanksgiving was like 3 months ago. So you lost the gains from the last 3 months. Big freaking deal. I mean, Thanksgiving, if you recall, that was the thing with the turkey. That was like, the stock market was like breaking records all over the place. Everybody at Thanksgiving was saying, my God, the stock market is fantastic. and the investors were looking forward to the corporate tax break. That's why the market's been doing so well. The companies are looking forward to getting their corporate tax break. Then they finally get it. Now the companies are saying to themselves, okay, we got that. So what's next? I don't know. I guess there's no reason to go that high up anymore. Our hopes and dreams are here, I suppose. So, like, what now? I don't know. Let's just start correcting ourselves because this is crazy. It is crazy. It's very crazy. Money, the root of all evil. Or the media is. I don't know. Someone's at the root of all evil. All right, for 1,100 points, who recorded this song? That's right, Kenny G. Okay, so there's your money thing. I mean, money equals power. Power equals money. It's an endless circle. You're not in the circle. You don't have money. You don't have power. So what is this to you? Well, we all have 401ks. Me, I have a 402k, which is not as effective. I don't know what a 401k is, where that name came from. Who's got a 402? Who's got a 403? Who's got a 404? And what happened to all the Ks before 401? Were they not working out? Did they fail? I had a 357K. Oh, Ron, that didn't work out, did it? No, it didn't. I wish I had a 401. I had a 399. That failed. The 400, whoa, I took a soaking on that. 401, I'm going to hang on to this one. And what's the K? What's the K stand for? Nothing begins with a K. Kerchief, which is short for handkerchief. What else begins with a K? Knock, which doesn't even sound like a K. That should begin with an N. Who came up with that? Who came up with the word knock beginning with a K? Why, there's no reason in the world why it wouldn't begin with an N. No one says knock. That's not how you say it. So what's the K doing there? What moron put the K in front of the knock thing? I mean, seriously, is there any explanation for that? Well, Ron, that's a German word, and German words begin with a K. Really? Does thank you begin with a K? What are you talking about? Does Frankfurter begin with a K? Does Knockwurst begin with a K? Is it K-N-O? Actually, it is. Actually, it is. Oh, okay. I didn't plan that. That went wrong. It's the same results for my 207K. Wow. All right. Anyway. So welcome to the program. How are you doing today? I have a very interesting guest. We're talking about surviving death. Whoa, Ron, that sounds really up. You certainly do a very upbeat show. This is about the occult, I guess, superstition stuff, paranormal stuff. I really don't know. I haven't had the interview yet, so I really don't know what it's about. But it sounds interesting. I'd like to survive death. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be great if you died and you said, not really. I'm going to survive this. And then you have another thing based on the survival. Oh, that's great. That's like cashing in your 401 too. Your K something. What is vitamin K? Do you take vitamin K? I don't even know what that is. I know it exists, but I don't know what it is. All right, we're going to do with the surviving death thing coming up rather shortly. But first, I've got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I can't see because you got the curtains closed and my binoculars are getting fogged up. So if you could just email me that information. I saw it again. I live in the Northeast in the Boston area. That's where the show emanates from. And a few days ago, it was about 15, 16 degrees outside, which is in the area of very cold. And I saw a guy walking down the street wearing shorts. He wasn't running. He wasn't jogging. He wasn't in his right mind, but he was wearing shorts. And I felt like walking up to him and saying, like, why are you wearing shorts in 15-degree weather? And then I realized there's no point in talking to him because he's an idiot. Why would I even waste my time? That happened. We had like a January thaw, which is like leaving your refrigerator door open. And it was like 40 degrees outside. I knew everybody in the Northeast was going, well, 40 degrees, it's a heat wave. And people were walking around in shorts and t-shirt at 40 degrees. Let me tell you something. If this was the middle of the summer and it was like 90 degrees every day and all of a sudden it turned 40 degrees, you'd see people in fur coats and parkas with mittens and boots. I guarantee you. It's freezing. It's 40 degrees. Can you believe it's freezing? This is all relative. It's all about your relative.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five. It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it. Or cares. Or anything, really.
High five. By the way, you shouldn't be touching anybody at all right now because everybody has the flu. I don't have the flu. You can touch me if you'd like. But you don't know. People are having the flu, two flus in a row. They actually have the flu. They get rid of the flu, and then they get the flu again. And then they take medication, and they're in bed, and they're sick. And they say, okay, now I'm feeling better. And they go to the bathroom, and they got the flu again. It's like, wow, how many strains of the flu are there? And the answer is 17. No, I don't know if it's 17. I really don't. But there are a lot of different strains. I got the flu shot at a Rite Aid pharmacy. This guy comes out from behind the pharmacist counter there and gives me a flu shot. I walk into Rite Aid. Where do you have the bandages? Oh, that's aisle 17. And the shampoos? That's aisle 15. And the flu shot? That's aisle 2. What is this? What's going on here? Next, I'll be given colonoscopies in the pharmacies. No, I got no reaction. by the way, did you know now that they... all right, let me stick with the flu thing. So I walk up to the counter and I say, I'd like to get the flu shot. And the woman behind the counter actually looks at me and says, wouldn't we all? And I think she was kidding. I'm not sure. So she says, hold on, I'll get the pharmacist. And I said, all right, I'll hold. Felt like I was on a phone call or something. The pharmacist comes out. He was a guy that looked like he hadn't showered in a couple of years. He was a largish man. There was a little sweat coming down from his forehead. And I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't look as sanitary as I thought it might. I thought a very clean-looking Dr. Oz was going to come out and inoculate me. But instead, I get this fat, blubbering guy that looks like he's just eating an entire fast food restaurant, sweating from the lip, and this guy's going to give me a flu shot? Well, I didn't want to embarrass anybody, so I said, sure, flu shot me away. And he had me sit in a little chair. He put a little tourniquet on my arm, and he plunges this gigantic Rite Aid needle into my arm, and it kind of went right in the muscle, and it had hurt, but I didn't want to show that I was a wuss, although I am. I think they know that when I walk into a place. I really do. I think employees in stores, they just have fun like looking at people coming in the store and trying to figure out who they are and what their life is like. And when I walk in, they say, this guy, he's a wuss. Look at this. Look at this guy. Hey, look at this guy. Look at this guy. I bet he's a radio talk show host and he's also a wuss. Yeah, I see that. I see that, Bob. I see he probably is a wuss. So the guy gives me the flu shot, and I leave feeling totally protected. Totally, totally, totally protected. Like there's no way the flu is ever, ever going to even come close to me. If the flu's walking down the street or I see a person with the flu, they're going to go, I'm not going near that guy. He's been inoculated. Why even bother? Why even bother touching this guy? I can't even infect him. Why even bother? About 3 weeks later, I get a tremendous severe cold, and I take my temperature, and I got 100 for a temperature, and I don't know if I had the flu or not. The thing went away the next day. So thank you, Rite Aid. Last time I get a Rite Aid flu shot. I'm only kidding. They're good people in Rite Aid. They really are. They, I don't know if they're good or not. I have no idea. I don't know. I have no idea if they're good or not. They're probably just fine. I really don't know. I don't care. Just, you know, fill my prescription and shut up. Just do it. Just do it and shut up. Stop asking me questions. And do you have your card? Do you have your rewards card? And no, I look, here's the deal. I want to buy something. I will give you money, and in return, you give me the item. You can put it in one of your little fancy bags, and we're done. And we're done. No, Mr. Van Dam, can I have your phone number, please? Why, you want to date me? You want to call me? Can we have your email? No, I don't want to be solicited by you. No, we're not going to solicit you, believe me. It's just we're going to tell you things that you might want to buy. No, I'm not giving you my... all right, fine. All right. Can I have the last four numbers of your Social Security number? All right. Emma, you know, 361. Can I have the first three numbers of your Social Security number? And the numbers in between, please. And can I have your credit card number with your little authorization code? Can I have that, please? Can you sign a blank piece of paper so that I can photocopy it onto all kinds of documents and take over your life entirely? Can you please give me your bank routing number, please? Not routing number. I want your routing number. Could you do that, please? Can you just give me all your blank checks? Like, why are we even wasting time here? I am going to steal your identity. Let me tell you something. You don't want my identity. I don't even want to be me. You can have my identity. I'd like to keep whatever money I have left in my 403k, but you can have it. I'd like to start all over. As a matter of fact, I'll take your identity. You take my identity. I bet I'm going to be better off. That's the chance you're going to have to take here in this transaction, but I bet I'm going to be better off. All right, maybe we won't do the identity thing. You bet we won't. Now, here's the money. Give me my item. I want that shampoo. By the way, I'm sick of buying shampoo. I have no idea what to buy anymore. When I was growing up, shampoo was the stuff that soap. You put it on your head. You kind of scrumped it around up there. You rinsed it out. Sometimes you may apply a second time just to make sure your scalp is really clean. And then you rinse it out and you're done. You know, you're done. You put some clothes on and you're finished. No, not anymore. Now it's got to have keratin in it or carotene or kerosene or something. And it's got to have limpets and loppets and it's got to smell of strawberries or vanilla. It's got to be vanilla. Coconut oil. Got to have coconut oil in it. My good coconut oil. How do we live without putting coconut oil on our face? I mean, you know, there's like 5,000 different varieties of shampoo. All I want to do is clean my scalp. That's all I want. Whatever bugs are in my hair, I just want to get them out of there. That's all I'm doing here. That's all I'm doing. I just want a bottle of shampoo. As a matter of fact, if there was an aisle for the shampoo, which there is in every supermarket and every pharmacy, and they came up with a product, it was just a clear bottle, it had freaking soap in it, and it said on the label, shampoo! That's it. There's no nourishers in it. There's no follicle cleaners. There's no chamomile, no aloe, no nothing. It's just shampoo. Just shampoo. It would make it so much easier. But it's not that easy. It isn't that easy. Life is so complicated. I have the same problem with toothpaste. When I need toothpaste, and I do every once in a while, sometimes I run out of toothpaste, believe it or not, because I brush my teeth twice a day. I know I should be brushing seven times a day. Thank you, dentist. And flossing, yeah, flossing is like shoving a thong up your tooth. I mean, what? Why am I shoving strings in between my teeth. Isn't brushing enough? Wasn't brushing always enough? Now there's a toothpaste with whitening, toothpaste with anti-cavity stuff in it. Tartar control, sir. Enamel strengtheners, whitening. There's like five or six or seven. And then there's like whitening and tartar control. What about cavity control? Not in this one. And then there's the total one. That's like everything, which is the same price as just the whitening. Why would you get anything less than everything? If there's a toothpaste that has everything in it, it's got the fluoride, it's got the whitening, it's got the enamel, it's got the tooth replenisher, it's got the anti-cavity, it's got everything. If it's total, it's the total, it's the complete. They call it total, they call it complete. Why would you buy anything other than that? Oh, I don't want a complete. I don't want a, no. I don't want the anti-cavity. I want the cavities. I want a whitening. I want the cavities. Why wouldn't you always just get the? Why do they have that other stuff on the shelf even? Why do they have so many what they call SKUs? SKUs. Why would they have so many of those when anybody would all they would ever want is the total? Give me the complete. Give me the total. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why does nothing make any sense anymore? When I was young, everything made sense. I would see a product on the shelf, and it would be like, wow, this is great. Look, they actually make this. This is fantastic. They know everything. They people that make things just know everything. Now, as an adult, I don't understand how these people know anything. What are you doing? Why would you even sell that? Why would you even bother selling something like that? What happened to me? I became cynical. Every minute that I continue to live on the planet, I become even more cynical than I was the minute before. I have compound cynicalism in my brain. And I can't win. I can't win. This all started when I lost everything in my 307K. That was the problem. And it will never go away. I changed my mind. We were going to do our interview with the surviving death people as I was doing this diatribe. I was informed that that's being delayed one day. Is that right? All right. So instead, we're going to be talking about melanoma. Now, I know that's quite a switch in topics. But I'll tell you something. The reason I'm going to do this interview coming up today is apparently this is skin cancer. This is skin cancer that actually gets beneath the skin and starts going throughout the body. That's a bad thing, believe me. And it can come back, even if you combat it and have the little tumor thing cut out, it can come back somewhere else and that kind of thing. It's not good. They actually, and when I say they, I'm talking about the medical technology people of our land, bless them all, have actually come up with something that reduces or eliminates this cancer once it's treated to pretty much make sure it's not going to come back. These are the people I want to talk to now. These are the people. Look, I'm getting older and I don't have time for you to make medical discoveries anymore. You must make your medical discoveries immediately right now just in case I get anything.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Welcome to the program. We're speaking to Dr. Weber. He's the deputy director of the Perlmutter Cancer Center and also serves as co-director of the Melanoma Research Program. And we're also talking to, let's see, who else do we have there with us?
Dr. Louise Perkins from the Melanoma Research Alliance.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much. Okay. Let's start with what melanoma actually is. In my layperson understanding, which is the way I understand everything, they're all different, like phases of melanoma. Some are more serious than others. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. Melanoma is a cancer of your pigment cells, which are the cells that give all of us our different complexions. Mm-hmm. And if they become abnormal, become transformed, turn into a tumor, if it starts in the skin and stays in the skin, you can surgically remove it. You can recognize it as an abnormal-looking mole or right. Other freckle-type lesion. And if the surgeon takes it out, most of those patients are cured. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if it stays there, if it invades into the skin, or if it moves to a distant location in the body, then you have a problem, and then the risk of death begins to rise enormously.
When a surgeon, most of us have been through this if you're over like 40 years old or 50. When the surgeon says, okay, we've successfully removed it, we've done another biopsy, it's gone, is that definitive?
If it is an early melanoma that's thin, meaning thinner than a certain amount of distance into the skin, usually the surgeon's right. But the problem is, even some of those patients will have a bad outcome, will spread, or as we call it, metastasize. Mm-hmm. And if it's already spread, the surgeon can remove it, but the risk of return of the tumor or relapse is huge. It's like 50% or more. And that's where I, as the medical oncologist, get involved, because we will want to give the patient further treatment to prevent the tumor from returning and causing their death.
Right.
And that's called adjuvant therapy. The word adjuvant means added to.
Okay. And I guess that's the bottom line to almost any cancer, is when it is removed or treated successfully, its recurrence is always a possibility, and that is always that little dark corner in the back of our minds. And that's an unfortunate thing. Is there any resolve to that, or possible resolve?
Well, the resolution is you risk adjust what you're going to do for the patient. If they have a 5% chance over their lifetime this will ever return, you're just going to watch them. You're going to see them on occasion, keep an eye on the skin, et cetera. But let's say, Ron, you have a 50% risk of this thing returning. You're going to want to do something, if you can, to reduce that risk. And that's how I would feel, and that's when the adjuvant therapy comes in. And by the way, by way of full disclosure, I should point out that my institution and others have taken funds from Bristol-Myers Squibb and other companies to do trials in this realm, and I personally have taken consulting funds from Bristol-Myers Squibb and others in this area. But just to clarify, the reason why we're here is that over the last year, there have been multiple new trials showing that these immunologic drugs can benefit patients with melanoma and many other cancers. And most recently, this was in just in September, at a meeting, we presented results of a trial which showed that a drug that's an immune stimulant called nivolumab could reduce the risk of the tumor returning, the melanoma, after it was surgically removed. That's called adjuvant therapy. And it probably prolongs the survival of the patients, too. So there was clear benefit to the use of this nivolumab, this immunologic drug, in patients after the surgeon takes out the melanoma. So that's a big deal.
How far are we away from the big deal becoming available?
Oh, the big deal was approved by the FDA, I think, on the last week in December, so it was not even 2 months ago. So this is now a drug that's available in the U.S.
Oh, so we're cutting the ribbon.
Absolutely. And it was a pretty fast process from the time the study results came out, which probably would have been August, September, till the approval. It was only three and a half months.
Okay, now I'll ask both of you, If that is the case, do our oncologists know about this?
Well, I'll let Louise chime in, but I think it's become fairly well disseminated in the cancer community among cancer physicians that this is a new standard of care in taking care of patients with melanoma, so it's a big deal, and the patients now know about it too.
Yeah, getting the word out to patients is also helpful because the oncologists will know about it. The patients are increasingly part of the decision-making process in determining how their care is going to develop. So it's important for patients to get educated about the latest in treatment options, and there's certainly some excellent educational resources out there for people. As much as our mission at the Melanoma Research Alliance is to put forward the research, it's also to help educate the patients, and Bristol-Myers Squibb has been very generous in supporting that mission.
What are the chemical physical situations that are going on that makes this treatment successful? What is this treatment actually doing?
So, Ron, the treatment is an antibody, which looks like an antibody in your own body. It's actually a human antibody made, believe it or not, using a humanized mouse. But the actual substance, it's a chemical. It's it's grown free of any organism, so it's just a chemical. Mm-hmm. And it's, we have these antibodies in our body. They do a good job of preventing infection and other things. But now it's been harnessed to stimulate the immune system, which then indirectly can help get rid of the tumor. So if you throw in this antibody, it doesn't directly kill the tumor cell. It indirectly kills it by stimulating your immune system, mm-hmm. which in the cancer state doesn't work very well. And that's the understanding over the last 20 years. Mm. When you get cancer, it really messes up the immune system.
Sure.
And it's what we call exhausted. So you're reinvigorated with these drugs.
Could this be extended into all forms of cancer eventually?
Yes. And this drug, nivolumab, has been approved for a variety of cancers. At the end of the day, in the next couple of years, probably a third to a half of all cancers will have some sort of immune therapy. And I am sure by the time I retire, which I hope is not less than 10 years from today, that almost all cancers will be treatable and in some cases curable with these immunologic drugs.
That's wonderful news. Yeah. Wow.
I think there's been tremendous progress. And if folks are interested in learning a little bit more about the treatments, there are a number of resources out there to help them find a little bit more information about how these are different from chemo.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, there are a lot of people suffering right now, and it's you always go back and you say, man, if it was 10 years ago, someone I know could have survived. So this is incredible news. Now, I'm going to... yeah, go on.
No, it's great news for patients.
Yeah.
10 years ago in melanoma, having a diagnosis of stage 4 disease was a death sentence.
Yeah.
Today,
yeah.
For the first time, we talk about the C word, the cure word, with our patients.
Wow. Could you please... I will spell for the listeners this treatment. It's NIVOLUMAB. Mention that to your doctor if you so need to do so. And we're going to visit opdivo.com. That's opdivo.com. Do I have that correct?
Yes, Opdivo is the other name for nivolumab.
Excellent. Well, this was a good conversation. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice chatting with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, good. That's an up thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I hate to say this. I'm not thrilled. I'm not proud of it. I'll be back again tomorrow, though, with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Put me on your calendar. Will you do that? I appreciate that. Until then, I wish you peace. This is what you call the closing theme. It indicates that the show is about to end quickly.